Mataji, so we'll start.
Shama Supriya Mataji, you can take over.
Okay, sure, Mataji. Okay. Hare Krishna. I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference call of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. And today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten on the topic from Antya Leela 12.61 onwards. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the session and giving your very valuable time and association this morning, Mataji. I like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shyama Supriya Mataji, and Hare Krishna to all the devotees on the call. Thank you all so much for your warm association. Thank you, Shyama Supriya Mataji, for your warm welcoming. And all the devotees for their very, very beautiful chanting, as always you do. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is Antya Leela and chapter 12. So we are going to discuss from verse 60 onwards till end of chapter. So I'll start the prayers. Om Agnyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meenitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Antya Leela, chapter 12. And chapter 12, we are reading from verse number 60. Chapter 12 is titled, The Loving Dealings Between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagdananda Pandit. So that is going to be the topic for today, which is we will be seeing some loving dealings between Jagdananda Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, this is verse 61. Purvavatsa balana gundicha marjana rata age purvavatsa rila natana. All the devotees engaged in the cleansing ceremony of the Gundicha temple were engaged in the cleansing ceremony of the Gundicha temple and danced in front of the Ratayatra chariot, just as they had done in the past. 62. Chaturmasya sabha yatra kailadarshana malini prabhruti prabhure kailani mantrana. For four consecutive months, the devotees observed all the festivals. The wives, such as Malini, extended invitations for lunch to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 63. Prabhura priya nana dravya aniyache desha hoite sevyanjana kari bhiksha dinagriha bhate. From Bengal, the devotees had brought variety of Bengali food that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked. They also cooked various grains and vegetables in their homes and offered them to the Lord. Dine nana krida kare lana bhakta ghana ratre krishna vichede prabhu kare narodhana. During the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in various activities with his devotees, but at night he felt great separation from Krishna and used to cry. 65. चतुर्मास्या गेला गौडदेशे यैते तबे भक्ति आज्ञादीला. In this way, the Lord spent the 4 months of the rainy season in various pastimes, and then he ordered the Bengali devotees to return to their homes. So we will continue and we will finish this entire chapter, though I just read a few verses. These few verses in the beginning, they just set the scene of what is happening now. And then we'll finish the chapter and I'll tell it to you in a story format so that we can... it's mostly the verses translation, but then when we discuss it in the form of a story, it gets very interesting. So from there, we will just continue the storyline. So before we start, let me give a background of this chapter. So far in this chapter, we have been seeing the story of Sivananda Sen receiving mercy from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we saw that pastime in great detail as discussed by Ketada Sundari Mataji in our earlier sessions. And then also in the past 2 days, we have also seen the Parameshwara Das Modak pastime, where there was a devotee by the name Parameshwara Das Modak. He was a confectioner and he was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he took this opportunity to join the Bengali devotees and come to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just like how so many devotees had come to observe the Chaturmas, even he had come, and he was a great recipient of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So that was the previous few verses. Now that the Bengali devotees had come and they wanted to spend this Chaturmas time with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they were in Jagannath Puri, they were engaged in various kinds of services, like the cleansing ceremony of the Gundicha temple, participating in the Rath Yatra festival. So as they participated in the Rath Yatra festival, they were dancing in front of the Rath chariot. And for 4 consecutive months, all these devotees observed all the different festivals that was happening in Jagannath Puri in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And while they were there, because so many devotees had come from Bengal, they also took the opportunity to host Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give him various kinds of foodstuffs. So we have great wives of devotees like Malini, Devi and others who extended invitations to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they had brought various kinds of foodstuffs from Bengal, dry items, cooked items, and they lovingly offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And throughout the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was in the association of his very, very close devotees from Bengal, he would spend a lot of time with them. He would discuss Krishna Katha. He would chant and dance with them. And in the night, in separation, he used to cry from Krishna. So even in the previous chapters, we have seen the statement being made by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that during the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant and dance and he would take association of devotees and he would give his association. But in the night, in the privacy of his quarters, and maybe with a couple of his associates like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, he would think about Krishna and he would cry in separation from Krishna. So in this way, the Lord, he spent his time, the 4 months of the Chaturmas. And finally, when the time was ending, he decided to order the Bengali devotees to return to their homes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he decided to request them to leave, he first called all of them and then he began to speak to them. So he called all of them came in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very lovingly started to tell them a few things. He said, all of you come to see me every year. Every year during Chaturmas, you all come here. And to come here, stay for 4 months and then go back to Bengal must be giving you a lot of trouble. I want to forbid you from doing all this, taking all this trouble. But then I enjoy your company so much. I just enjoy your company so much that though I want to forbid you, my internal desire is actually to take the association of you devotees. And my desire only increases every time you come and go. Actually, I ordered Sri Nityananda Prabhu to never leave Bengal. But then he's also transgressing my orders and he's coming every time to see me. So what can I say? And out of his causeless mercy, Advaita Acharya, he also comes here. And I'm indebted to him for all the affection that he shows to me. So this debt that I owe all of you is simply impossible for me to liquidate. So this is very similar to how Sri Krishna was actually describing how he felt when the gopis had given up everything for his sake. So he said, it is impossible for me to liquidate the debt of the gopis. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was expressing his heart and he was telling, you all are coming just for my sake. And how am I going to repay all of you? So you have left aside your home, your families, and all this is very, very difficult to give up. You have given up all your comforts and you have come here in haste just to see me. So much fatigue and trouble all for me. And this is the greatest favor that you people are doing for me, but I have nothing to give you. I have no way to repay the debt and for the favor that you all have done for me. So I only have this body. Now I give my body to you. You can just sell it anywhere you want. And I surrender my body to you. So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having this very beautiful, loving reciprocation with the devotees who had come. And he was very, very emotional and very grateful to all the devotees who had taken the trouble to come every time to see him. And when all these devotees, they heard these sweet words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their hearts were melting and they began to shed incessant tears. They were feeling so bad to hear these words from Mahaprabhu. And the Lord, catching hold of his devotees, he would hug them and he embraced them and he began to cry again and again. And unable to leave their association, he simply asked them to stay. I mean, they also wanted to stay back. He also wanted them to stay back. And though they had to leave, still they continued to stay for another 5 to 7 more days. So these Bengali devotees, they extended their stay for another few days. And then after 5 to 7 days were over, Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they went and saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually this entire world is naturally obligated to you because of your transcendental attributes. You just tie us with your love and your sweet words. So there is no way that we can leave you and go anywhere. But then it's time for everyone to leave because so many families had come and all of them had to leave. So at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he peacefully calmed down everyone because nobody wanted to leave, but still they had to leave. So he had to peacefully calm down everyone and he bade all of them farewell. And again, he called Nityananda Prabhu and he told him, again, you should not keep coming again and again. You have duties in Bengal and definitely you will get my association very soon in Bengal. So please stay in Bengal. And then all the devotees, they were all crying and they began their journey. And the Lord was staying back in his residence. He was very, very morose and he was bound by the love of all these devotees. He was pouring out his transcendental mercy to all these devotees. And he was standing there feeling very, very bad in separation from all of them. So it is impossible for anyone to pay the debt for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is telling, how am I going to pay my debt to all of you devotees because you devotees are giving me so much affection. But it is impossible for anyone to pay the debt to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for him because he always pours out his mercy on his devotees. So we are all very indebted. It's not just the Bengal devotees who are indebted. We are all very indebted. We have got this pure science of Krishna consciousness. How many people are fortunate to get it? So we must be extremely grateful. And we are forever in debt for this mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually pouring out on us. And then we should understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the completely independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is the one who makes everyone dance the way he likes it. So, of course, the devotees had come to take his association, but it was the Lord's desire that the 4 months are complete and these devotees had to go back to their residences. So just like how a wooden doll dances in the hands of a puppeteer, similarly, all these devotees, they come and go and everything is only by the will. It is accomplished by the will of the Lord. So it is very difficult to understand the characteristics of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His pastimes are very, very deep and it is very difficult to understand these things. So after Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami spoke about the great fortune that the Bengali devotees received every time they visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Chaturmas time, Then his focus shifted towards one particular pastime with one sweet devotee by the name Jagdananda Pandit. So we have seen Jagdananda Pandit's character, his sweet relationships with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in some of our previous sessions through the previous chapters of Antilila. So now we are going to see an interesting pastime with Jagdananda Pandit. Now Jagdananda Pandit, previously he was sent to Nadia or Bengal on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a message to Sachi Mata. So previously he was sent with some Jagannath Prasadam, a cloth of Jagannath, and he was asked to deliver it to Sachi Mata with a nice message to her. So previously when Jagdananda Pandit went to see Sachi Mata, at that time he went to her and then he offered prayers at her lotus feet and then offered her the prasadam and the cloth of Lord Jagannath. And then he offered his obeisances to Sachi Mata and he gave the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his submissive prayers to you. And this is the message that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has for you. Mahaprabhu says that he comes every time to accept the food that you offer to the deities. So after eating the food that you offer to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes personally and he eats all the food. But then it appears that Sachi Mata doesn't understand what is happening. She thinks only that it is a dream. So he carries this message and he goes and he tells Sachi Mata that actually it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who comes every time, and he comes and he eats all the prasadam that you offer thinking about him. And oftentimes when you see the plate empty, you're just thinking it's a dream that, you know, suddenly the food has vanished and then again you come and you fill up the plates. But it is actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who personally comes and accepts all the food that you lovingly feed him. So similar message was also carried by Damodar Pandit. We saw this, I think, in the second or third chapter of Antilila, where Damodar Pandit was actually sent to Nadia, and the same message Damodar Pandit took, and then he went and convinced Sachi Mata that it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who's coming every time and accepting the food, and that's why you see sometimes it's empty, and then you think that it was a dream, and again you go and you refill the plates. So the same message we had Jagdananda Pandit tell Sachi Mata. So then when Jagdananda Pandit visited Sachi Mata, he gave this message, and also he would sit and talk with Mother Sachi all day and night about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this would give both Sachi, Mother Sachi and Jagdananda Pandit lots of happiness. And all the devotees in Bengal, Nadia, Navadvip, all those nearby places, when they would hear that Jagdananda Pandit is paying a visit, everybody would want to go and sit with him and hear the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the devotees would somehow or the other try to get the association of Jagdananda Pandit. So Jagdananda Pandit, he would stay with many devotees and give them his association. Sometimes he would meet Advaita Acharya, and then he would be with Vasudevadat, he would be with Murari Gupta. Like this, he would go from one devotee's house to the other, because these devotees would lovingly call him so that they could hear some pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Jagdananda Pandit was such a close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would just love his association and they would never want him to leave. So this went on for a while, and Jagdananda Pandit during this period, he also got the opportunity to stay in the house of Shivananda Sen. So we have seen the pastime of Shivananda Sen, who he was and how he received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So Jagdananda Pandit, he also got this opportunity to spend some time in Shivananda Sen's house. And in Shivananda Sen's house, he had a very nice project. So what did he do? He made about 16 sears of sandalwood oil. What is a sear? Sear is basically a measure that was there in olden days. So it is like kilograms. Okay, so 16 sears amounts to 15 kgs of sandalwood oil. So very carefully, he prepared very nice aromatic sandalwood oil with the help of Shivananda Sen in Shivananda Sen's house. And he was preparing this especially for the sake of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could use it. So carefully he got all the oils, nice distilled oil, and he prepared this huge vat of oil. And carefully he put that 15 kilos of oil into a big earthen pot, and he had carried it all the way from Bengal to Puri. Okay, so it is not easy. I mean, you have to carry 16 kilos or rather 15 kilos of oil. You have to prepare that oil. You have to put it in an earthen pot without breaking the pot very carefully. You have to take it all the way from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And in those days, you know, as you all know, communication from one place to the other was not all that easy. So we had Jagdananda Pandit, who took this great effort out of love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he brought it to Jagannath Puri and he left it in the care of Govinda. Who's Govinda? Govinda is the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he left it in the care of Govinda and he told Govinda, please rub this oil on the body of the Lord. So that, you know, the idea of rubbing certain oils on the body is to balance the doshas. Like in Ayurveda, you all know there is Kapha, Vata and Pitta in the body. These are the different doshas in a body. So to balance these doshas, basically rubbing oils really help. Aromatic oils help in that. So basically, he didn't want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have too much bile and air in the body, and therefore he passed on this oil and he gave this message to Govinda. Now Govinda, he received this huge pot of oil, and then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his presence, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Jagdananda Pandit has brought some scented sandalwood oil and it is his desire that you must use this so that your blood pressure and bile and air will be considerably diminished. He said this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagdananda Pandit has taken great effort to do this. He has prepared a very large jug of it in Bengal, and with great care and effort, he has brought it here. So therefore, kindly allow me to rub this on your body. So when he told this to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead of feeling happy, he became very, very upset. He said, a sannyasi, I am a sannyasi. A sannyasi has no use for scented oils, especially perfumed oils. There is no way a sannyasi will use it. Please take it out immediately. So why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have to say this? Why did he say that? Okay, so in the purport, Prabhupada explains that there is a smartha vidhi, meaning rules and regulations according to the smartha texts about how a sannyasi should lead his life. So Prabhupada says, according to Raghunanda Bhattacharya, the spokesman of the Smartha regulative principles, he says, Prataha snane vrate shrade dvadasyam grahane tata madhyalepa samam tailam tasma tailam vivarjayet. One who smears on his body, oil on his body, while observing a vow, in conjunction with a ritual, while bathing in the morning, while performing the Shraddha ceremony, or on a Dwadasi day, may as well pour wine all over his body. Therefore, oil should be rejected. This is the Vrata vow. And sometimes it is understood to refer to the Sannyasa Vrata. Raghunandana Bhattacharya has also said in his book, Titi Tattva, Grihitam cha Sarshapam tailam yat tailam pushpavasitam adushtam pakva tailam cha tailabhyange cha nityashah. This means that clarified butter, ghee, mustard oil, floral oil and oil boiled may be used only by grihastha householders. So basically, according to the Smartha Vidhi or rules and regulations, a sannyasi doesn't accept aromatic oils, or he doesn't rub all these floral oils on his body. All this is enjoyment for the body, and therefore it is reserved only for grihastha householders. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, I am a sannyasi and I have to show by example. I cannot be using all these scented oils and rubbing it on my body. So therefore, you please take this away and deliver it to the temple of Jagannath, and they may be used to light lamps in the Jagannath temple, and Jagannanda's hard labor in manufacturing all this oil will be perfectly successful if it is used in Krishna's service. So when he said this, Govinda, he went and informed Jagdananda Pandit about the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagdananda Pandit was, he felt very bad and he just remained silent and he didn't say anything. But then after a few days had passed, Govinda again told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Jagdananda Pandit still has a request for you. It is still his desire that you must accept this oil. So when he heard this request again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to declare that I am a very strict sannyasi, and a sannyasi is not supposed to take help from anyone. If you're asking me to take this oil, then why not I keep a masseur to nicely massage my body? Have I taken sannyas for such happiness? Accepting this oil will just bring down my ruination and all of you will just laugh at me. I'll hire a masseur, I'll have this oil and I'll keep rubbing it on my body. What is all this? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to make it a point that I'm a strict sannyasi, and a sannyasi wouldn't take help from anyone or rub oil on his body. And retaining a masseur to give him massages would just indicate his dependence on others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to follow these principles very strictly, that a sannyasi doesn't hanker after comforts. And he told Govinda that if anyone smelt my body when I walked out, they would think that this is a dari sannyasi. Dari sannyasi means a tantric sannyasi who maintains women. So that is the idea they will get. What is this massaging scented oils and keeping people around you to do all this work? So hearing these words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda was, he remained silent. He didn't say a word. And then the next morning, Jagdananda Pandit, he went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in person. And when he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in person, that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Jagdananda Pandit, my dear Pandit, I know that you have brought some oil from Bengal. It is your love and affection. But then understand that I am in the renounced order of life, and I cannot be accepting this kind of oil massage and all these scented oils. So please take this away and use it in the service of Jagannath. You can take it there and give it to the the pandits there, and they will help you use it in burning of Lord Jagannath's lamps. So like this, the labor that you have put in will also be fruitful. And Jagdananda Pandit heard this. He was very upset. And then he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who tells you all these stories that I brought some oil from Bengal? I didn't bring anything for you. And then he goes, he takes out that jug, or that huge jug of oil. He brought it out and he broke it. He just broke the whole thing. And in the courtyard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can see that picture. It is there in the poster on top. Jagdananda Pandit breaking that pot of oil in anger. And then he went away to his residence. He locked the door and then he sat down in anger. So he was extremely upset. And he just laid down on the bed and he didn't see anyone for 3 days. He didn't do anything for 3 days. He didn't eat for 3 days. He was so upset with whatever had happened. Now, let's take a quick diversion and then we'll come back to what happened after 3 days. Okay. So now Srila Prabhupada, okay, now we are talking about a sannyasi in this time and age, in this recent time and age. Srila Prabhupada was also a sannyasi, but we all know that he did take oil massage for the sake of maintaining proper health, right? So why did Srila Prabhupada take oil massages? He did take oil massage, or he did have to rub some oil on his body, because it was suggested by an Ayurvedic physician. An Ayurvedic physician did tell him that he had to, you know, maintain proper health, flexibility, and he had to take walks and also have a proper diet so that he could maintain his body. And you all know that Prabhupada was almost in his 70s when he was spreading this mission of Krishna consciousness around the world. He had to travel from one place to the other For this, he definitely had to take care of his body. So 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to set a particular standard in the presence of so many other smartha sannyasis. So therefore, he took very rigorous hardships. He would also, you know, in the future chapters, you will see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very particular that he would lie down only on the floor and he wouldn't accept cotton bedding that Jagdananda Pandit wanted to give him. So his situation at that time and what he wanted to show by example was very, very different. It was a different social setting. Now, Srila Prabhupada's case was very different. As I said, for the sake of practical reasons and to facilitate this preaching mission to come and then spread Krishna consciousness, he had to definitely take care of his body and follow the instructions that was given to him by a physician. So keeping the higher principle in mind that it is preaching that is important to travel to different places and give this Krishna consciousness in a stable bodily condition, that is why Srila Prabhupada had to, though he was a sannyasi, remember it was not for his enjoyment that he took oil massage or he had to accept rubbing oil on his body. It was not for the sake of enjoyment. It was rather to facilitate his bodily condition so that he could go around and preach. And he did have to make certain alterations to the austere so-called lifestyle of many sannyasis. Sannyasis generally have an austere lifestyle. Even to this day, all of our sannyasis have extremely austere lifestyles. But then they may not be exactly according to the book, you know, rules and regulations according to the Smartha Vidyata. We have to use the principle of Yukta Vairagya and see and use renunciation in the right spirit. It is not renunciation for the sake of renunciation. It is renunciation to execute the higher principle of spreading Krishna consciousness. So therefore, there is nothing wrong in accepting oil, you know, rubbing oil to maintain proper health, even if one is a sannyasi. One has to work for the higher cause or higher principle. So in this connection, after having said this, in this connection, I want to see a very beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada, and this is also to do with oil. So that's the reason I wanted to divert a bit. So Srila Prabhupada also accepted oil from his very dear loving disciple once, and this is a very sweet pastime of Srila Prabhupada. And Shrutakirti Prabhu, he records this in his diary, in his book. So there was a devotee by the name Siddha Swarup Prabhu, and he loved Srila Prabhupada so much. He was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he loved Srila Prabhupada so much. So out of love, one day he brought a huge aluminium bottle of Mysore sandalwood oil for massaging Srila Prabhupada's body. Now, Srila Prabhupada would use sandalwood oil only in the head because, you know, it's coolant, right? So he would only use in the head, but for the body, he would generally use mustard oil. Usually it was Shrutakirti Prabhu who would help him rub the oil on his body. So when sandalwood oil was brought by Siddha Swarup Prabhu to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada told him that, thank you so much. I mean, the sandalwood oil is very nice, but then sandalwood oil is used only for cooling the head and mustard oil is used for the rest of the body. Now, Siddha Swarup Prabhu did not understand the Ayurvedic principle behind it or the significance of it. And then he insisted that Srila Prabhupada, I really want you to use this oil just this one time. Please use this oil. It's so good. It's so fragrant. And I want to give it out of love as an offering to you. So please rub it on your body. He insisted. So because Siddha Swarup Prabhu was insisting with so much of love, so Srila Prabhupada, he consented for the sake of his devotee. He knows very well that it's not going to help, but then he consented reluctantly for the sake of his devotee to please his devotee. And that day, Srila Prabhupada's body was massaged with the sandalwood oil, his entire body. And Siddha Swarup Prabhu was so happy. It just gave him so much happiness and he was enjoying watching Srila Prabhupada. And then as usual, Prabhupada took his bath and he honored lunch prasadam. And then he went to take a nap. And then after his nap, he just called Shrutakirti Prabhu. And he told Shrutakirti Prabhu, I'm actually not feeling well. And I think it is because of the massage. Because the massage of sandalwood oil, the sandalwood oil cooled down Prabhupada's body too much. His body had become very, very cold and he was feeling very unwell. So it is just so remarkable how Srila Prabhupada accepted certain things as an expression of love for his disciples, because his disciple took the effort of bringing that sandalwood oil, though he knew very well that it is going to cause difficulty according to the Ayurvedic principle, still just to satisfy his disciple, he just agreed for that massage. So Srila Prabhupada underwent hardships not only for the sake of his spiritual master, because of the spiritual master's request, not only did he undergo the hardship of coming to the West and spreading Krishna consciousness, but he also voluntarily decided to undergo hardships for the sake of his disciples, to please his disciples, to show his expression of love towards his disciples, so that his disciples would be encouraged to follow devotional service, even though he had to undergo difficulty. So now we need to see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pleased Jagdananda Pandit after this incident. See, Jagdananda Pandit, definitely he felt bad and all that, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to show by example. He had to show how a sannyasi should behave in that particular social setting. And what he did at that time was perfectly, you know, what had to be done, you know, showing by example. But then he was also feeling bad that Jagdananda Pandit had become so much hurt because he had refused the oil that he had brought. So 3 days later, Jagdananda Pandit was not to be seen. He had locked himself inside the room, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go and pacify him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his love and affection that he had for Jagdananda Pandit, he went to his room and he knocked at Jagdananda Pandit's room. And then he told him, "My dear Jagdananda Pandit, please get up. I want you to personally cook my lunch today. And I'm going to see the Lord in the temple. I'm going to Jagannath's temple. So I'll return by noon, and I want you to cook my lunch prasadam." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very well knew what would please Jagdananda Pandit. His consoling, more than his consoling, actually, if Jagdananda Pandit was given some personal service, Jagdananda Pandit would become very delighted. So he knew this perfectly well, and he went and he knocked on his door and he told him, "You are going to cook my prasadam today." And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this and left, Jagdananda Pandit was so happy. He got up from bed, he bathed, and he began to cook all sorts of variety of prasadam. And after finishing his noontime ritualistic duties that he had to perform, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he arrived for lunch after taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. By then, Jagdananda Pandit, with the help of a couple of devotees, he had cooked very, very nice rice. He had mixed it up with ghee and he had piled it on a banana leaf. And then he had made beautiful vegetable preparations and he had placed it all around the leaf in little pots made of tree bark. That is made of banana tree bark. Different pots were made, and in that different vegetables, dal, sabji, everything was filled and it was kept ready for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, they were all this was already offered to Krishna, and it had a nice Tulasi Manjari decorating it, each of these preparations. And he also got a lot of Jagannath Prasadam from the temple, and those were also transferred to little containers made of tree bark. And they were also kept along with the preparations that he had made. And he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sit down and take his prasadam. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited like this by Jagdananda Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also invited Jagdananda Pandit. He said, "Spread another leaf next to me, and you also come and sit with me, and let us honor prasadam together." But then Jagdananda Pandit said, no, you first take prasadam and I will eat later after serving you." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great happiness and love, he sat down and he tasted all the preparations that was made by Jagdananda Pandit. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Jagdananda Pandit. He told Jagdananda Pandit, "When you cook, it is so tasty. Even when you cook in an angry mood, the food tastes so good. The prasadam tastes delicious. because Krishna is so happy with you, whatever you offer to Krishna, Krishna very lovingly accepts it. That's why it tastes so good in spite of you being so angry. So Krishna personally eats everything that you cook, and whatever you cook, whatever you offer to Krishna, it becomes so nectarian. So who can estimate your good fortune? And then Jagdananda Pandit, he smiled and he said, actually, the person who eats it has cooked it. Now, this is the right mood, right? So when we go to the kitchen, it's not that we cook, right? It is Krishna. It is only Krishna who works through us. We are only the collector of ingredients. That's how Jagdananda Pandit replies. See, such a beautiful statement he says. He says, he who will eat has cooked this. As far as I am concerned, I simply collect the ingredients. So it's a very nice consciousness to have, because really when we go to the deity kitchen, we don't cook. So who are we? I mean, whatever we have, it all comes from the Lord. Whatever skill we have or whatever it could be, the effort that we put in, everything is only the mercy of the Lord. If the Lord has to accept it, actually it is he who's doing it. We are simply instruments. So similarly, Jagdananda Pandit says that as far as I am concerned, I just collect the ingredients, but the Lord does the cooking. So then he continued to offer different kinds of vegetable preparations and different kinds of rice preparations to the Lord. And the Lord, that day, he ate 10 times more than his usual intake, just to please Jagdananda Pandit. The Lord would not otherwise eat so much. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to please Jagdananda Pandit, he ate 10 times more. And Jagdananda Pandit would not leave him. He would keep feeding him more and more and more. And then finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, I've eaten so much. I really cannot eat more than this. I've eaten 10 times more than my usual. So now I should stop. And then finally, of course, Jagdananda Pandit let him go. The reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to do this is because if he did not eat properly, Jagdananda Pandit would begin to fast. So he was very scared where Jagdananda Pandit would again lock himself and then begin to fast. So he was trying to please him somehow. So he went that extra mile to please his dear devotee. So very similar mood Srila Prabhupada also had, very, very similar mood. Then at last, he stopped eating and then he told him, now I have to stop. He went up, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got up, he went, he washed his hands and mouth. And then Jagdananda Pandit lovingly brought him different kinds of spices, a garland, sandalwood pulp and all that. And then the Lord told Jagdananda Pandit, now I have finished eating, so it is high time you sit down and you honor prasadam. Then Jagdananda Pandit said, yes, 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 I have some more work to do, but you first go and take rest. I'll take the prasadam after I make some more arrangements. Ramai Pandit and Raghunath Bhatta have actually helped me with the cooking, so I also want to make sure that they eat, and definitely I will take prasadam with all of them. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Govinda, who is his personal servant, that you please remain here. And when Jagdananda Pandit has taken his food, you can come and inform me that Jagdananda Pandit has finished taking his food. And Jagdananda Pandit immediately, he told Govinda, no, you don't have to stay here. I'll definitely eat prasadam. But you go, now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken his prasadam. So you should go and massage his feet and do some service to him. And then you can tell him, you can as well tell him that Jagdananda Pandit has already started taking prasadam. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls asleep, I'll keep some portion for you. You also come and take prasadam with us. So Jagdananda Pandit, he sent off Govinda. Govinda went and started massaging Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that yes, Jagdananda Pandit is going to honor very soon. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, begun to sleep, at that time Govinda came back. And then all of them, Ramai, Nandai, Govinda, Raghunath Bhatta and Jagdananda Pandit, all of them, they all took the personal remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Govinda had again gone back to see the Lord, and the Lord told him, I want to make sure that Jagdananda Pandit has finished eating, so please check that and let me know if he's really eaten. And then Govinda, he saw that Jagdananda Pandit, yes, he was indeed eating. He told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very peaceful, and then he could sleep properly. So this was the loving dealing between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagdananda Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always wanted to make sure that he was comfortable, and Jagdananda Pandit wanted to make sure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was comfortable. So this affectionate dealings between Jagdananda Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very similar to the affectionate dealings between Satyabhama and Lord Sri Krishna, as it is related in Srimad Bhagavatam. So as all of you know, Satyabhama was the favorite queen of Sri Krishna, and she was very moody by nature. So she would engage in affectionate loving dominance over the Lord. Small fights, affectionate loving provoking fights. And we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.14.37 purport, some details about Satyabhama, which is very interesting to know a little more into her, into who she is. Satyabhama, Prabhupada writes, one of the principal queens of Lord Sri Krishna at Dwaraka. After killing Narakasura, Lord Krishna visited the palace of Narakasura accompanied by Satyabhama. He went to Indraloka also with Satyabhama, and she was received by Sachi Devi, who introduced her to the mother of demigods, Aditi. Aditi was very much pleased with Satyabhama, and she blessed her with the benediction of permanent youth as long as Lord Sri Krishna remained on earth. Aditi also took her to show the special prerogatives of the demigods and the heavenly planets. When Satyabhama saw the Parijata flower, she desired to have it in her palace in Dwaraka. After that, she came back to Dwaraka along with her husband and expressed her willingness to have the Parijata flower at her palace. Satyabhama's palace was especially bedecked with valuable jewels, and even in the hottest season of summer, the inside of the palace remained cool as if air-conditioned. She decorated her palace with various flags heralding the news of her great husband's presence there. This was Satyabhama. Once, along with her husband, she met Draupadi. And she was very anxious to be instructed by Draupadi in the ways and means of pleasing her husband. Draupadi was an expert in this affair because she had kept 5 husbands, the Pandavas, and they were all very much pleased with her. On receipt of Draupadi's instructions, she was very much pleased and offered her good wishes and returned to Dwaraka. She was the daughter of Satrajit. After the departure of Lord Krishna, when Arjuna visited Dwaraka, all the queens, including Satyabhama and Rukmini, lamented for the Lord with great feeling. At the last stage of her life, she left for the forest to undergo severe penance. Satyabhama instigated, now this is the mood, she instigated her husband to get the Parijata flower from the heavenly planets, and the Lord got it even by force from the demigods, just like how a common husband does things to please his wife. So this was the mood of Satyabhama, very different from the mood of Rukmini. Rukmini was very submissive, but Satyabhama knew she was like that loving domination towards her husband. And of course, Srila Prabhupada clarifies that, as already explained, the Lord has very little to do with many wives and carry out their orders like an ordinary man. But because the queens accepted the high quality of devotional service, namely administering the Lord all comforts, the Lord played the part of a faithful and complete husband. No earthly creature can expect to have things from the heavenly kingdom, especially the Parijata flowers, which are simply used only by the demigods. But due to their becoming the Lord's faithful wives, all of them enjoyed the special prerogatives of the great wives of the denizens of heaven. In other words, since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within this material creation, it is not very astonishing for the queens of Dwaraka to have any rare thing from any part of the universe. So I thought it was interesting. It was a very interesting purport, and I wanted to share that purport with all of you. This is all about Satyabhama, her mood, and how she acquired the Parijata flower and the relationship she had with Krishna. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.14.37 purport. So you can look at it. Okay. So Jagdananda Pandit, similarly, just like Satyabhama, he had very deep, pure love for the Lord. And like that of Satyabhama, his love was very moody. His nature was very moody. And he had this position of Vamya Bhav, Vamya nature, the left wing gopis, right? They have this nature of being a little dominant. So that's how Satyabhama was. And he would love repeatedly provoking the Lord, and he would get into arguments with the Lord. And they always seem to be an external misunderstanding between the Lord and Jagdananda Pandit. Always there would be something, you know, some external misunderstanding between them. But then it is not exactly a misunderstanding. It is an expression of love. So he himself, Jagdananda Pandit himself, is a great example of you know, how fortunate a person can get when they receive the mercy of the Lord. And anyone who reads this book called as Prema Vivarta, they can understand what real love is, the kind of love that Jagdananda Pandit was exhibiting towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vivarta actually means accepting something to be the opposite of what it appears. So Jagdananda Pandit, he appeared very angry, right? He appeared very angry because the Lord did not accept. He bolted himself and he went and he didn't show his face for 3 days. He did all this. So this was it appears to be anger. But then it was also a manifestation, internal manifestation of the great love that he had towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prema Vivarta is also the name of the book written by Jagdananda Pandit. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami uses words like Prema Vivarta to describe the mood of Jagdananda Pandit, his loving dealings with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this chapter. So anyone who listens to this very beautiful exchanges between Jagdananda Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sure to receive the love of Krishna. One will definitely achieve love of Krishna when they hear and understand the loving dealings between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagdananda Pandit. So having said this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he ends this chapter with the famous word, praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. So that ends this chapter. And thank you all for your continued attention. And if you have any questions, comments, or realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This book that you mentioned, Prem Vivarta, can we also, once in a, like, once we are done with the Chaitanya book, can we also have someone read that and we all hear it in Hindi?
Yeah, we can arrange for that.
Such a beautiful book you mentioned. Thank you.
Thank
Hare
you.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. And I'm so happy that how wonderfully, you know, I was thinking so many verses, how is she going to cover? And, you know, and so beautifully you covered it. And so timely also. It was so, so, so beautiful, well-presented class. And really like the point that, you know, you made that balance by quoting Srila Prabhupada so that, you know, our minds don't get bewildered with such thoughts, with such questions.
Thank you
so much, Preeti Vilasni Mataji, for always, you know, helping all of us to understand CC in a much, much better way. So thank you all for your services. I don't have any question as such. But the way you covered and the way you presented, it's mind-blowing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class, Mataji. And while you were saying, as Mataji said, my mind definitely got bewildered thinking of Srila Prabhupada. And thank you, like they say, Vaishnavas are Kalpa Bhiksha, so you clarified it immediately. So thank you. And that time I thought, even my Maharaj, once, you know, in the temple, they put Srila Prabhupada's service for auctions. And my Maharaj, he won the auctions of, that time he was a Grihastha, so he had some Lakshmi. He got the auction of giving Srila Prabhupada feet a bath. And he said, I was taking the, you know, I was making my money worth and I was going on rubbing the honey and ghee and everything. And I was just not stopping. And at that time, I looked up and Prabhupada said, that's enough. And that reminder, and then Maharaj says that it shows that Prabhupada was not trying to enjoy anything. So he was just doing it on behalf of his guru. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much and clearing things. Again, very grateful.
Thank you so much, Anuradha Mataji, for adding that. That's so true. He was doing it on behalf of his spiritual master. Such a beautiful pastime you shared. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you very much.
हरे कृष्ण प्रीति विलासिनी गोपी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय एग्री विथ माता जी दैट एवरी टाइम यू आर कीप पुटिंग सो मच एफर्ट्स माता जी चकदानंद पंडित से रूट जाते हैं और देन आफ्टर थ्री डेज व्हेन चैतन्य महाप्रभु सेड आई विल टेक अ प्रसादम इन योर हैंड एंड ही इज सो हैप्पी एंड दैट Parijat flower, Satyabhama want that Parijat flower, and Draupadi has a 5 husband, and then Rukmani Maharani is a very submissive mood, and then you explain about so many things, Mataji. Krishnaraj Kaviraj Goswami explained. And we just think that here and here and here and here, morning time also, Mataji, after Bhagavatam, our Padma Sakhi is putting so much efforts and take all the Shridham, Mayapur Dham, Shri Gauranga's place, Mataji. We are sitting at home and entering in it 3 times in a day. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Mataji, I have one question, please forgive me, that Draupadi, it is not connected today's class, but Draupadi Maharani and Drushtadu is born from I don't know, they don't have their childhood, and who is Drushtadu, that also I forgot, Mataji.
Okay, Draupadi and Drushtadyumna, they were born from the fire, the sacrificial fire. So Draupada Maharaj actually performed because he wanted to have someone who would conquer Drona, and both of them appeared from the fire. They appeared as adults. Yes, you're right. There is no childhood as such. Yes.
What is it, Mataji, for Drona means?
Drona, Dronacharya.
Acharya means what? What is Dronacharya for?
Meaning Dronacharya and Draupada, they did have some fights. So.
Understand. Yeah. Actually, Sanam Mataji will ask this question and I forgot. She explained so nicely, but I forgot it.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Indu.
It's wonderful class, Mataji. Such a beautiful story. And it's a very sweet reciprocation between the Lord and Jagadananda Pandit. I just have one question, Mataji. Is this the same person who was, who tried to guide Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when
Damodar Pandit, that is. Oh. Some chapters back, right? Yeah.
The one who was sent back to Sati Mata. Okay, yes. That is a separate.
Okay. Even I had the same doubt, actually. Oh, and that too, when it's actually, I went, I'm like, was it Damodar Pandit or Jagdananda Pandit? And then, yeah, that was Damodar Pandit. Yeah.
Okay. And then, why? I was confused about that. Mm-hmm. But also, why was it that he went and broke the pot?
You know, sometimes, see, this is like, you do something very lovingly for your example. You do something very lovingly for your husband, and your husband doesn't appreciate it, and you're so frustrated. Like, okay, you don't want this. Okay, let it go. You know, go and you throw it. So it's a spontaneous reaction, but.
Because he was like, no, I did not bring any such thing. No. And then
yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't make it, okay? You know, it's like that. Yeah. I mean, it happens, right, with many of us. When we lovingly want to give something to someone and that person doesn't want it or says this is not good, we are so upset. And then we are like, okay, I never made this, you know, it's not for you. And then you take it and you destroy it.
Then after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so meekly is sitting and eating all the rice, even though he's full, he doesn't want to say anything. It's like,
I'm very scared what will happen now if I refuse.
Yeah, the devotee is, he's got the Lord on his fingertips. Thank you so much. Very wonderful pastime. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanwad
Pranam. Dhanwad. Logging in from India. He'll be on all the calls.
Right. Sometimes I forget the time. I joined a little bit late. But then yesterday when I was reading through this verse, I felt like they are never ending. They're all so many pastimes. And I even asked like how many verses are you going to take it. So many verses, and it is also in beautifully way you conclude, like you brought it together. And the best part was how you could explain how about Srila Prabhupada into it. Like basically, see all these pastimes which are there. If we can, you know, if we can have it synchronized with this today's doings and with today's acharyas, it just gives us such a beautiful understanding of those pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like because whatever our like we have heard or we have seen. It can be without, like, if you do not look it from a devotee eye, it can go off and it can just create, like, what, like, why was this done? Or is this required for a sannyasi to do? But when we know the reasons, then it just gives a better understanding of all these pastimes. Thank you, Mataji. It always, you, like, bring it together in such a way wherein there is no scope for any questions to be asked.
Thank you
so much, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
So much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So if there are any other questions, Mataji, if anyone has comments, questions, realizations.
Anishri, Mataji was unmuted for a long and I have texted her. Mataji, do you have any question? Okay. Maybe not.
Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Lakshmi Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Such a wonderful class. Mataji, I had a question. I don't know if the question is right, but I still had it in my mind. Mataji, we know that Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada are so merciful that they accepted what the devotees or the disciples they gave with loving. So as a disciple or a devotee, how careful we have to be, Mataji, that we offer something lovable to Guru Maharaj. And how do we know that, you said, Prabhupada felt, he said, I didn't feel well. So like that, we should be very careful, right, that it should not affect their health or mentally and also physically. So how cautious we have to be, Mataji, as a disciple?
That's a nice question. And it is very important. I mean, I'm not the right person to probably speak, but then I'll just tell what I know. It is extremely important for us to know what is best for our spiritual master and not try to push our, what we want our spiritual master to have, right? So there is a difference. There is a difference between what the spiritual master wants and what we want him to have. So it is very important to be aware. And how do we be aware? We do ask people who are closely serving them. Like you will have a certain senior god brothers and god sisters who would know exactly out of experience, out of being close to the spiritual master, close to his vapu, for some time, they have an understanding of what suits their spiritual master and what doesn't suit. So we should not speculate and try to do something thinking that this is going to please the spiritual master, but it may not, right? So it is better to take guidance and understand what he exactly requires and deliver only what is required exactly. We can go out of our way to deliver more, but then it should not be too pushy in the sense that we should not think that we know better than what the experienced devotees know. So it is better to follow instructions and do that very nicely so that the spiritual master is happy. So even if we do something very small, but if we do it with proper details, and if we do it with a lot of love and affection, the spiritual master will be happy about it. It's not about, you know, like what we want. Just like how Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. And then in the purport, if you read that Bhagavad Gita purport, Prabhupada says it is very important if you really love someone to give them what they like, not what we want to give them. So it's a very nice purport, and that goes a long way. The same thing applies to anyone that we love or anyone we respect. We should be very, very careful about it. Now here, in these special cases that we discussed, of course, they were doing it purely out of love. It's not that they knew that, you know, oh, this is going to displease my spiritual master. They really didn't have that feeling at all. So they did it very naturally out of love. But if we know that, okay, this is not really going to please him, it's better to avoid. But sometimes there are some close devotees who don't think that this could end up detrimental, and out of innocence they may be doing it, but it's okay. And the senior ones can probably guide them in a loving way, not in a way that you don't know anything, only I know, but in a very loving way that they can say, okay, maybe this won't suit him, so let's do something else. So that'll help. Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam should be a which Gita verse is about giving what the beloved wants. Let me see the verse number and I'll tell you. Thank you. Did that help, Lakshmi Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, very much. It's always better to get a guideline or an instruction before approaching or giving something to the spiritual master. Because if he's happy and if he's enjoying it, it's okay. But what if we are going to do in another level that it may disturb him or something?
So we should always keep that in mind. Because there are many devotees out of over love, they do it, but then it disturbs the spiritual master. So it's better to take guidance before doing something.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. And the one who had asked the verse number, it is 926. Which verse of Gita? I think this is Pink Yogi from Harlem. It's 926. Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prithvi Lasmi Mataji, for the wonderful class. I missed half of the part, Mataji. I was in my Guru Maharaj call, but I'll try to hear Mataji remaining class. But thank you so much for your association and always giving us detail of the scriptures, Mataji. Very grateful to you.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna devotees, are there any questions for Mataji? I think Kamotaki Mataji unmuted her. Mataji, do you have a question, Mataji? We cannot hear you, Mataji.
Krishna Pratilas, Mataji. Can you hear now?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you very much for a very nice, beautiful class. I was wondering how, Pratilas, Mataji, has so many verses. It's very nicely you will put it together, everything very nice. Devananda and Satya and Bhama. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you, Komodaki Mataji, for always being there for us, guiding us. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna, dear devotees. If there are no more calls for questions for Mataji, so with Mataji's permission and with all your permission, we can end the call. Thanks once again, Mataji, for your very wonderful time in association. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnavrindiki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna Priti Vilasini Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Oh, my microphone is very much. Thank you, Mataji. Very beautiful class.
Mataji, koti koti dhanyavad.